This week is Parsha Shlach. Parsha Shlach starts out talking about the chet of the Meraglim. It's a very, very difficult parsha to understand. How people that were tzaddikim by the way, the shir should be refuah for this child that was texted me that they just added Rafael to his name. So his name is now Rafael, Asha, couple, then Naomi. So very difficult parasha. People who were tzaddikim, these nesiim, you know, she says they were tzaddikim, can make such a grave mistake. Talking badly about the land that Hashem has promised to Bnei Yisrael. We also have to understand, if you look into the parsha, one will see that the grapes play an important role in this parasha. The pasuk says, as Moshe finishes speaking to them, it says Moshe tells them his chazak. This is pasuk chaf. Kapitel Yud Gimel Pasuk Chaf. V'his chazaktem, you should strengthen yourselves with a kachtem and pri ha'aretz, and take from the fruit of the land. And the pasuk finishes off, v'hayamim, and those days, yemei bikurei anavim, were the days of the ripening of the grapes. Why is that important? Why do we need to know that? And in general, there's obviously a lot we have to learn from this parasha, or else it wouldn't be here in the Torah. The Torah is not a history book. What is it that we are supposed to learn from this parasha? Getting back to the grapes, the pasuk continues in pasuk Chav Gimel. It says, "Vayevoyu al Nachal Eshkol." They came to a place called Nachal Eshkol. "Vayichesu misham zemoira ve'eshkol anovim echad," and they cut from there a vine with one cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a pole held by two people. And then the pasuk says, to that place they called the valley of the grape cluster. Because of this cluster of grapes that Bnei Yisrael cut from there. So there's a lot going on here with the grapes. And what is the connection here between the grapes and the Meraglim? Now, the Sforim HaKadoshim tell us that the reasoning of the Meraglim, who were tzaddikim, was that as long as Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, they had a very spiritual life. They had nothing to worry about, no physical needs to tend to. There was no one was involved in any kind of business. They had all of their needs were provided for. Their money was falling from heaven. They had the rock was supplying the water. The clouds were cleansing and ironing their clothing. They really had no worries. They were able to serve Hashem day and night without any physical worries, without any physical concerns. And to these tzaddikim, this was paradise. This was great. And by coming into Eretz Yisrael, or Eretz Canaan at that time, they realized that once Bnei Yisrael come into Eretz Yisrael, life is going to change a lot. It's going to become, everyone is going to become very involved in their physical day-to-day needs and concerns. You're going to have to go to work and be involved in gashmius throughout the day. They're going to have to work hard to put food on their table. No money is going to fall from heaven. And the food that they're going to eat is going to be physical food, not spiritual food. The water they're going to drink is going to be physical water. They're going to have to work for their clothing. It's going to be a different world. They found that the time that will be left for serving Hashem is going to be very minimal. And for the benefit of Bnei Yisrael, they felt that it would be a lot better if they stay in the Midbar. And we find that they said, the words that they said were, Eretz Eichelos Yeshvehi. It is a land that consumes its inhabitants. Meaning, it's the earthiness consumes its inhabitants. It's not like it is in the Midbar, where we're way above Arzias. We're way above any type of earthiness, earthliness. This was the cheshbon, this was the thinking and the reasoning of the Meraglim, and who totally meant it for L'shem Shemayim, the sake of heaven. But their mistake was that if Hashem would want angels, Hashem would want spiritual beings to serve Him, then He would not have placed us on this physical world. As the Kotzker used to say, Hashem has enough angels. Hashem wants people. There's a pasuk about Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Words mean Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, be holy people to me. And the Kotzke said, don't be angels, be holy people. Meaning, take physicality, take all the matters of this world, all of that earthliness, and make it holy. Use it for the sake of Avodas Hashem. That is what we're here in this world for. Do business, go to work for the sake of supporting Torah, of giving tzedakah, of supporting your family, and to enable them to serve Hashem properly. Eat and drink to have koyach, to have the strength to serve Hashem. So on and so forth, all of our physical activities are to be done for the sake of Avodas Hashem, thereby combining heaven and earth, thereby elevating the Gashmias and making the Gashmias into Ruchnias. That is what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam placed us here for. So the Meraglim were wrong. The ultimate goal is not to stay in the desert and live a spiritual life. The ultimate goal is to live in Eretz Yisrael, yes, in Eretz Yisrael, and elevate Arzias, to elevate the Gashmias. This concept is written in many Sfarim, that this was the reasoning of the Meraglim. The Gemara says, Masechta Schulin, Amar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, Umazu, this nation, referring to Bnei Yisrael, Legepen Nimshala, is compared to a grapevine. Zemoyre Sheba, the branches of it, Elu Balibata, these are the Balibata, the people that that work and make a living. Ashkoilos, the clusters, Ashkoilos Sheba, the clusters of the vine, Elu Tamid HaChacham, they are the Tamid HaChacham. So the branches support the clusters. Now, according to what we've just explained, the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam is not that the clusters should be onto their own and that the branches should be onto their own. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants the clusters to have branches and the branches to have clusters. That the Balavatim should be Talmid HaChachamim and the Talmid HaChachamim should be Balavatim. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants the Rotzon Hashem is not that we should stay in the Midbar and remain Talmid HaChachamim. We're supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael, involve ourselves in Gashmias, and to elevate the Gashmias. The Ribbono Shel Olam's will is not that we should involve ourselves in Gashmias and forget about Ruchnias. There's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking for in this world is that we should combine heaven and earth. To combine the clusters and the branches. And those who suggest that Talmid HaChachamim should be Talmid HaChachamim and Balabatim should be Balabatim are guilty of the Chet HaMeraglim. That is exactly what the Meraglim wanted. That Talmid HaChachamim should be Talmid HaChachamim. Don't get them involved in Gashmias. Right before Klal Yisrael was sent the Meraglim, right before Moshe sent the Meraglim, Klal Yisrael was ready and prepared to go into Eretz Yisrael. It was a time that the grapevine was going to be ripened. It was finally, up until that time, all there were clusters. There were only Talmid HaChachamim. The whole concept of Balei Batim didn't exist. We were all in the Midbar, a nation of Talmid HaChachamim. The Hayyamim, says the Pasuk, those days, Yimei Bikurei Anavim, was the time of the ripening of the grapevine. That was the time that the grapevine was finally going to come into being. The branches and the clusters were going to come together as we would go into Eretz Yisrael. But the Meraglim thought otherwise. Vayavoyu ab Nachal Eshkol. They came to this place called Nachal Eshkol. Vayichrisu mishom zemoyro ve'eshkol anovim echod. And they cut from there the branch and the cluster, which was one. And instead they carried it with two people. What the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted one person to carry. What the Ribbono Shel Olam wants the one person to be the Eshkoil and the Zmoira, to be the cluster and the branch. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants that same person to be the Talmid Chacham and the Balabas. The Meraglim cut that. And instead of carrying it with one, they wanted two people to carry the cluster and the branch. there should be Talmid Chachamim and there should be Balabatim. That Talmid Chachamim should not be Balabatim and Balabatim should not be Talmid Chachamim. So that place was called Nachal Eshkol because that epitomizes the grave mistake that the Meraglim made. It's interesting that Chazal say, when the Chazal talk about a marriage that is a good match, Chazal say, Inve ha-gefen v'inve ha-gefen, dover no miskal. The grapes of the vine and the grapes of the vine, this is something beautiful and acceptable. I think it's possible to say that while children are growing up, a boy grows up in a household, and a girl grows up in one household where basically all their needs are attended to by their parents. And for all practical purposes, these children can live a ruchnizdik life without having any worries or concerns of gashmias. But as they get married, the yoke of gashmias falls on their shoulders. So at every marriage, what happens is that there's the branch and the cluster comes together. The grapevine is formed. So Chazal say when a marriage that seems that it's going to carry through and be a true Yiddish home, I'll call it Inve HaGefen Inve HaGefen, the grapes of the vine. The grapes of the vine. This is something beautiful and acceptable. This is something that is actually going to form and bring together what the ultimate Rotzon Hashem is out of creation. I'll tell you a short word, only about 5 minutes left here. There's a very obvious difficulty as soon as you begin the parsha. Yishlach lecha anoshim. Hashem says to Moshe, send for you anoshim, people to spy on Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi says, what is the lacha? What is sent for you? Rashi says, ledatcha. It's your own, this is your own thing. Ani ein mitzav lacha. I'm not commanding you to do this. Do this on your own. Now, why didn't Moshe see with the red lights flashing? Right? Hashem is telling him, I don't have anything to do with this. Right? If you want, you can send it. You can send it right. I'm not commanding you to do this. So, I think we could say, and according to what we've just explained, what the chet of the Meraglim was, that basically in the Midbar, everything was. It was a ruchnis dig of life. And going into Eretz Yisrael was involving themselves in Gashmias, and the Meraglim didn't hold that this was a great idea. In other words, in the Midbar, there was in Machal and Arav Oida, there are three areas. There's mitzvahs asay. There are things. There's mitzvahs, things that aren't mitzvahs. There's averis, and then there's reshus, things that are discretionary. Not a mitzvah, not an aver. And basically, in the midbar, it was either mitzvahs or averis. Right? They didn't have the discretionary area, the gray area, that is all matters of gashmius that we have, that we approach when we came into Eretz Yisrael. We were introduced to all of that when we came into Eretz Yisrael. The eating and the drinking and the all, in the midbar, that was all ruchnius, that was all spirituality. It was heavenly bread. It was heavenly water. This whole concept of reshus, of discretionary, that was introduced to us in Eretz Yisrael. What Moshe wanted, and Moshe says in Parshas Devarim that he thought the Meraglim was a good idea. Moshe wanted to test if Klal Yisrael is prepared for this avoda of rishus, can they handle this new avoda of the gray area, the discretionary area? Can they use all of these? Can they use RTS for avodas Hashem as we talked about before? Will they be swallowed by the earth, or will they be able to? To control their gashmis. So in order for the Meraglim to be successful on their mission, their whole shlichus had to be rishus. Their whole going there had to be discretionary. Had their going there been a mitzvah, then they wouldn't have been able to tell whether they can deal with this new avodah of rishus or not. So Hashem told Moshe, since Moshe felt this was a good idea, Hashem told Moshe, okay, I need any mitzvah, I'm not going to command you to do this. Because once I command you to do this, I forfeited the whole purpose of the mission. Because if they're going as a mitzvah, then obviously they'll be successful. They know very well how to deal with the mitzvahs. That what they might have difficulty dealing with is with things that are not mitzvahs. So, any mitzvah, I'm not going to command you to do it. Shlach lecha. Send them on a discretionary mission. See if they can handle it. And it had to be, and it couldn't come from the Rebbein Shalom, because then it's a mitzvah. It had to come from themselves. And once again, the Meraglim felt that this was not something that Klal Yisrael can handle. And they were mistaken. Yeshua and Kalev saw that Klal Yisrael could handle this as well as they'd handled the Midbar. So basically, we have to realize that our avodah, the reason Hashem placed us in this gashmiyistic world, and sometimes we feel consumed by the gashmis, as if we barely have any time to serve the Rebbein Shalom. We have to realize that we have to be in control. Number one, we can't allow the earth to consume us. And at the same time, to utilize all of our resources, all of our Gashmi's digger resources, for the sake of Avodas Hashem, thereby fulfilling the purpose of creation. And I believe we have a good chance, a good shot at being allowed back into Eretz Yisrael if we're able to prove ourselves that we have the ability to take Artius, to take earthliness and elevate it, to make it holy. That is what was necessary That is what was necessary in order to allow Klal Yisrael and Teretz Yisrael in the first place. And with the koyach that we will have to make our Artius holy, we will be zeichel once again. The Mashiach Tzidkenu will lead us to Atzeinu HaKadosha. Amen. Shabbat.